Thank you, Cordell, and the two other family singers. Take your Bibles with me. Turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians, chapter 5. It's nice when groups have a name. Jay, maybe you could come up with a name. You'd be thinking about that, but not during the sermon, okay? Galatians chapter 5, please, in your Bible with me. Last week, Sunday night before last, we were considering the marks, what we talked about, the marks of the new man. What does the new man look like? I told you then that I was going to do a little bit of a series on this to kind of keep us in focus in regard to what spirituality looks like, what that is exactly. Sometimes people think that being spiritual is just having a list of rules and regulations. Now, certainly there are standards in the Christian life. I don't want anyone to misunderstand me in regard to that. Those things are important, but they are not the core thing. A person's spiritual life comes from the inside and moves to the outside. It is not just a matter of externals. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul talks about that. After discussing in previous verses to where I'll be tonight the sins of the flesh, in Galatians chapter 5, look at verse number 22, please, with me. Very familiar to most people here. Notice these words, "But the fruit of the Spirit, that is the fruit that is produced by the presence of the Holy Spirit." So it is not just something that is human, it is something that is supernatural. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." And there are some people that will argue, and I think this is arguable, that love is primary, and then the other fruits of the Spirit I'm about to read, that they spring forth from a heart of love. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." The fruit that the Spirit produces in a Christian's life, when a Christian surrenders to the Spirit of God and is controlled by the Spirit of God, most assuredly are these things, these nine things that are listed. The spiritual life. You say, "Pastor Monty, what does a truly spiritual person look like?" Those are the verses we just read. The fruit of the Spirit. That is what a genuinely spiritual person looks like. A genuinely spiritual person. Now, let me back up just a moment. Of course, there is a foundation. The foundation is salvation, personal salvation through faith in Christ. That's number one. Then there is obedience. Okay, obedience includes water baptism subsequent to your salvation. Obedience includes walking with the Lord, learning His Word, listening to preaching, looking at the Bible. All of those things are included in biblical obedience. Then when we go beyond that, it begins a process of spiritual growth. And as a Christian, I'm back now thinking about Romans 6, as a Christian yields to the Spirit of God, things begin to change in his life. It is not a total personality change, but it is a grace that comes into the life that is born by the Holy Spirit and that is fruit of the Spirit. So as a pastor, when I deal with people, you say, "Pastor, can you discern a spiritual person?" The Bible gives us this list of characteristics so that we can discern someone who is controlled by the Spirit of God. On the opposite end of that, if an individual consistently manifests characteristics that are the opposite to the fruit of the Spirit, if that is the case, then we can most assuredly say that that person is not controlled by the Spirit of God because they are not manifesting this fruit. So a while back, some folks in our church gave me, it was 3 years ago, they gave me a little seedling. It was a peach tree seedling. Do you love peaches? A bunch of you love peaches. How many love peach cobbler? Oh, Kelly makes a killer peach cobbler. It's fabulous. It's out of this world. And the peach tree was in a coffee can. And the tree, when they gave it to us, was about this tall. It was just about this tall, just a little tiny thing. And I went to the backyard and I found a sunny spot because peach trees need a sunny spot. And I planted it there. That was 3 years ago. How many know that a peach tree grows like weeds in Indiana? You know, they really do. They grow very, very quickly. I'd grow from that into a small tree, into the next year it was like a small, more like a bush, and then the next year was like a small tree, and then this third year it looks like a tree, albeit a small tree, in the backyard. This was its third summer of being there, and I didn't really go over to look at it because I thought, you know, it's too small to have anything on it. And one day I was mowing over there, and I mowed over a peach. Can you believe that? And I looked up at this spindly little tree. It's still small. I looked up at this tree, folks, it was covered with peaches. Now, not huge store-bought fake peaches, okay? I'm not talking about those. But a little bit smaller, but phenomenal, juicy. It doesn't hurt that it's near the septic drain field. So juicy, juicy and tasty, not that way, but and sweet. And I actually had to make a little device to pick the ones that were at the top. And I think I got a bucket about this big filled with peaches. They were wonderful. Now, the fruit of my peach tree was peaches. I expected them to come at some point in time. I didn't expect them to come in 3 years. That's very quick. And I think we're going to have a bumper crop next year. By the way, my peaches are organic. You know why? Because I'm too lazy to spray them with bug spray. So they were completely organic. Didn't have any bugs. They were tremendous peaches. And my peach tree produced peaches as a natural result of it being a peach tree. As a natural result of you being a Christian, there should be spiritual fruit that indicates that the Holy Spirit is present in your life. Now, when I go through these things briefly tonight, I want to say something, make this very clear. This is not something that means you are perfect. How many people in the room know they're not perfect? No, we're not perfect. So every once in a while, the flesh gets a hold of us, and we don't manifest the fruit of the Spirit. I am not preaching perfectionism tonight, but listen to what I am preaching. I am preaching the necessity for there to be consistently this fruit in your life. It is something that when someone comes to the tree of your life, they would expect to be there because of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. If you can look at any one of these, or perhaps a number of these, and say, this is seriously lacking in my life, then we have to look at the spiritual aspect. Are we genuinely surrendered to the Spirit of God? It is more than, can you sign a doctrinal statement? It is more than, are you an independent fundamental Baptist? Far more than that. It is more than, do I use the right Bible version, or do I take the right position on doctrine? When I talk about the spiritual life, it is what is really manifest, what people see. Honestly, it's what my family sees me to be. So let's look at these for a moment. And I'm going to do something different tonight. I'm going to quickly go through them. I'm not only going to present what they mean and give application, I am also going to describe the opposite. And then you're going to rate yourself as to where you fall in relationship to the fruit of the Spirit. So the Bible says this, but the fruit of the Spirit, number one, is love. Agape, that is the love that is giving. I think it is the primary fruit of the Spirit out of which all the others flow. One of the characteristics that I've heard people testify of, and so this is a bit anecdotal, is that when they get saved, all of a sudden, their heart of hatred toward people turns into a heart of love. That is definitely a work of the Spirit of God. Years ago, we had a young man come to this church who was an atheist. I won't go into all of the story. He wanted to shock me by announcing to me when he first came that he was an atheist, and I just smiled. I said, atheists are welcome here. And he came to church angry with me. He was angry because his girlfriend had come to church. She had gotten saved, and she changed. And he wanted to know what we were doing to brainwash people at this church. I wish I knew how to brainwash people. It would be so much easier than dealing with people who are not brainwashed. I wish I could, but you're not brainwashed. I'm joking when I say that. Don't stare at me that way. I'm joking when I say that. I'm not about to be a cult leader, but if I ever were, I think we would all move to Florida. Any takers? Okay, there's a couple of people that want to do it. Okay, forget it. I'm not living in a commune with you. I'm not a brainwasher, but this young lady accepted Christ as her Savior. There was a change in her life. So this young man, he was rather upset. He was rather upset about the whole thing. And he came the first Sunday, sat just like this, about four rows, right in the middle section, about four rows back. Just like this. Stared me down during the sermon. Okay, but he was listening. The next Sunday he came and he sat, but he was more like this. And not staring me down. Third Sunday, he sat like this. And he was listening to what was said. On the third Sunday, when I gave the invitation, he came forward. He received Christ as his Savior. 2 weeks later, oh, this is kind of funny. He had real long hair. This is no commentary on people who have long hair, but he had really, really long hair. A couple weeks into it, no one had said anything to him about it, because you don't do that, by the way. That would be rude. Okay, that would be rude. You'd never do something like that. You're smart enough not to do that. He came up to me a couple weeks into it. He said, "Hey, I got a question for you." I said, "What's that?" He said, "Where do I get one of those Baptist haircuts?" Now, that was his question. That was his question. No one had put it to him. And I told him where to get a good Baptist haircut, called the barber and said, "Skin him alive." No, I didn't do that. He got his haircut. He bought a suit. I remember the first time he ever sang in the choir. He started singing in the choir. He was nervous. He was nervous as a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. He was standing right back up. He was standing right next to me in the choir, and it was going to be his first time to sing in front of Sunday morning church. And the choir director had the choir to rise like this. And as we rise like this, he leans over and he whispers in my ear, "Preacher, it's time to rock." And I had so much difficulty singing that song after he did that. Hey, and later on, we're talking. And he, by the way, he serves, I think, as a youth director, youth pastor in a small church in Montana today. Later on when we were talking, he said this to me. He said, "Before I got saved," he said, "my heart was so filled with hatred for people." He said that I could have been a dangerous individual. He said, "I don't know what it was. My heart was filled with hatred." He said, "When God saved me, all of a sudden, that hatred melted away." And he said, "I experienced something I never experienced before. I started to love people." Let me say this. The fruit of the Spirit is love. There are some people that think that they are spiritual because they take a strong position and they are hateful about it. There is no cause to be hateful about what we believe. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Our culture, as I don't need to inform you, our culture is in deep trouble. Our culture needs to see Christians who take the right stand, but they do so with the right spirit, and a spirit that loves and reaches out to people. In the next few weeks, we are preparing to move into a new building. Now, and someone mentioned this to me before the service, and I want to mention it tonight because I thought it was of the Lord. Someone said this to me. How important, as we make this transition, and as some people come to visit our church out of curiosity, how important it is that they find a church that loves and embraces them the first time they walk through the door, no matter who they are. Let me say that again. How important it is that they find that spirit of love immediately within this church. You know, we can have all kinds of concerns. And I do want to say this, okay? I'm amazed at how much the Lord has blessed us in this project. The Lord has blessed us financially in this project. By the way, we have to have a meeting Wednesday night. I think I forgot to announce it earlier. Special business meeting Wednesday night after the evening service. There, that serves as the announcement. And it's been announced in the bulletin different places. But keep that in mind. The Lord has blessed us financially in such a fantastic way. And He has blessed us in the progress, the process of this building. We have not had a setback, major setback. We had a little glitch with the heat and air people, but that got solved quickly. It did not delay the progress of the building. In a time when building supplies became scarce due to the pandemic, our building continued unabated in its building. In a time when the economy went from a soaring high Trump economy down to kind of a low economy that you would expect if a Democrat were in charge, I got an amen for that one at least, okay? Maybe not too many laughs, but I got an amen. Okay, in a time, may I make a statement, folks? If you're going to enter into a building, multi-million-dollar building program, 2020 would not have been the logical choice had we known. How many know that's true? I mean, we closed church for a period of time. It was phenomenal what has happened this year. May I say the progress of that work is God? It's not a human being. It is what God is doing. Now, when we go into a place like that, okay, well, some Pastor Monty, there are some things I just know I'm not going to like. Okay, look at me. I wouldn't complain about anything. I wouldn't complain about the Lord's blessing. Well, Pastor, I think we should have done this, this, and this. May I tell you that after we've been there a month, I'll probably have a list of 50 things I would do different. Okay, we've never done this before. But do you know what? Can I tell you this? Don't look at negatives. Do you know why? It's better, number one, it's better than what we deserve, right? Remember that little sermon? It's better than what we deserve. Number two, it's better than what we have by far. Number three, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God. We read our Bible sometimes, and we marvel at the children of Israel, don't we? They complained, they complained, they complained, they complained. God smote them, God smote them, God smote them, God smote them. They complained, they complained, they complained. And we marvel at, oh, I can't believe a bunch of complainers. You know, we're made of the same flesh they were. We have the same human tendency. Let's be very careful about that, okay? To have a very positive spirit. Can I promise you something about the first Sunday? Can I promise you something? And I'm not talking about grand opening Sunday, but the first Sunday we're there, can I promise you something? It is not going to go as planned. I'm going to make a promise to you. That's the promise I'll make to you. I will make, you'll say, Pastor Monty, you know, this didn't turn out right, and that wasn't right. Okay. It's going to take adjustment. But here would be the problem. If you were to just focus on, oh, you know, the choir didn't come in right, and this wasn't timed right, and that didn't work. If you focus on that, you're missing what is important. You know why? Because there are going to be people from this community who are going to come into this church. They don't care about those things, but they're looking for a church that loves them. And the fruit of the Spirit, what the Holy Spirit never produces complaining. Somebody ought to write that down. The Holy Spirit never produces complaining. What does the Holy Spirit produce? He produces love. Someone said, well, Pastor, you know, hardest thing is going to be when we get into that new church, I'm going to have to figure out where I'm going to sit. Okay. Can I make a prediction. I know for a fact that the people that sit over here are going to sit over here. Pretty much predicted. Pauline, you better. Because when I call you out, if you're way over there, I'll miss you every time, okay? The left-hand people sit over here. The middle people, you're going to seek a spot towards the middle. The right-hand people, you're going to seek a spot toward the right because that's what you're accustomed to. Now, if you want to really get daring and risky and live on the edge, you might switch it up a little bit and pick a different. Is that what y'all are going to do? He's what?
He's doing it tonight.
He's doing it tonight. Oh, yeah, because normally you're over there. Okay. Okay. Well, good for you. It's good as you get older to do crazy things. Be a little wild. Be a little wild. You know. Look at these people living right on the edge, these crazy Baptists. Okay. Here's what I know. Don't worry about your 18 inches, 36 inches, 48 inches, or 72 inches, however it may be, of real estate. Don't worry about that. Just say to yourself, God's been good to us. There are plenty of seats. And here's what we're going to do. We're not focusing on that building. In fact, let me just say this. We go in there, it better all be smiles, and hey, this is wonderful. And it is wonderful. I've seen it. I think it's just wonderful. I think it's just marvelous, okay? I'm not a connoisseur of anything, but I think it's just marvelous. But there ought to be all smiles. There ought to be all happiness. And then, not one word of complaint, because I don't want to hear it. I'm saying that with a smile and with a clenched fist. I don't want to hear it. But then, rather than focusing on all that, look for people. You look for people that need someone to love them. You look for people that need someone to embrace them. You walk into that building not just oohing and aahing at ceilings. I don't know, Stephen, those cloud things that are up in the auditorium, those cloud things that have lights on them. Don't just ooh and ah about all that. But you get your eyes back down on people, because let me tell you something, church, if we ever lose the heart for people, we've lost it all. That new building is not a museum, it is a hospital. It is a place to be used for the redemption of souls and the preaching of the gospel, and our heart has to be into people. And what you said, Pastor Bonnie, there's a lot of new people here, I can't tell the first-time visitors from the people who've been coming. Okay, just say hi to everybody. Don't shake their hand, but just say... Just say hi to everyone. Be welcoming, warm, and friendly. Have your heart focused on people. The fruit of the Spirit, I didn't plan on that part tonight, the fruit of the Spirit is love. What is the opposite of love? The opposite of love, of course, someone would say right away, hatred. Yes, it is. But there are other things that fall short of hatred that are still the opposite of love. For example, when I ignore someone, that's the opposite of love. When I harbor in my heart ill will towards someone, that is the opposite of love. When I am selfish or self-consumed, that is the opposite of love. Genuine love, and I was going to turn there, but I don't have time tonight because I talked too much about that. Genuine love is 1 Corinthians 13. Genuine love is the love that gives. It is the love that self-sacrifices. Listen to me. Genuine love puts me last, puts my concerns last. Genuine love says there is someone who is going to walk through the doors either of this church in the next few weeks or that new campus in the weeks to come. There is someone that's going to walk through the doors of that place, and they are going to have a need, and they are going to need to know someone who loves them, who is transparent, who will help them, who will be a blessing to them, who will give their life if need be, in service and in help to them, in counsel, in prayer. They're going to need someone to connect with. People do not come to church just to show up for a social reason. And I've lived long enough as a pastor to tell you every person you will ever meet has a need. And when you open your heart to them, it's amazing how quickly they open their heart to you. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The next one is joy. What is joy? Joy is an inner emotion that results in an outward expression. Joy starts on the inside. It works its way to the outside. Joy on the outside might look like a smile. It might look for some people like a twinkle in the eye. But joy is more than just happiness. Happiness is sort of situation-based. Happiness, I'm happy because of the happenings that happen to happen to me. That's happiness. That defines happiness. Joy is something that goes deeper. Joy is possible even when things are not going my way or when the happenings that happen to happen to me are not exactly what I would have liked. It is based, joy is, on believing in a reality. What is reality? I believe that I am in Christ. That is joy. That means no matter what the world throws at me, I can have joy. Say, I'm not one to be anxious about the condition of this world. Now, I talk about it a lot, but I'm not one to be anxious about it. I'm not, you say, Pastor, why not? You know, everything's changed. 2020, we're all going to have to live in some kind of weird new normal. No, we're not. No, we're not. Not unless you allow it. We're not going to. Well, this will never change. Yes, it will. This, too, shall pass. But let me say this. I don't have to live as a person that has anxiety over it. I can live as a person that has joy because we are watching the prophetic word unfold before our eyes. I am a believer in Christ. I am safe in Him. There's a lot of things this world can throw at me, and it does. I am safe in Him. Where does my joy come from? My joy doesn't come from ABC, NBC, CBS, and certainly not CNN. It doesn't come from any of those. My joy comes from the fact that I know that my God is in control. Joy is something that is on the inside. I am in Christ. God is in control. I think about my position. I think about my God, His love, His plan, His care for me. Well, Pastor, you know, everything's just heating up, and I didn't expect this kind of turmoil at this point of time in my life. Don't think about it that way. Think about it as this. We might be that generation that hears the trumpet sound. That's what I like to think about, and that's joy. You can take things, well, Pastor, you know, oh no, the sky is falling. Chicken Little, the sky is falling. Or you can say, no, I'm listening for the trumpet. There's a huge difference between the two. Joy is part of the Christian experience. It is produced by the Holy Spirit of God. Joy induces confidence, excitement, and hope. Joy is that thing that carries us through the difficult time and that makes the hard time a little bit easier because it is God and the person of the Holy Spirit who puts a song in our heart. What is the opposite of joy? Now remember, this is fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you're not a joyful person, there's a spiritual problem. What? Pastor Monty, it's all just about personality. No. Christian people are joy. Now, you don't have to be as expressive maybe as I might be, giddy sometimes with joy. You don't have to be that way. But a spiritual person has joy. The opposite of this is grumpy. Grumpy isn't spiritual. Now it happens. How many know grumpy happens? Boy, all these ladies are raising their hands. I think they're referring to their husbands. Doug, you raised your hand. Do you get grumpy sometimes?
I do.
I do too sometimes. When I get hangry, okay, hangry is not a spiritual problem, it's a food problem. The opposite of joy is grumpy, irritable, easily irritable, negative. How about this word? I love this word, snarky. Snarky. I don't know what it means, it just sounds cool. Snarky. Moody. Those things are the opposite of joy. Now, a lot of people like to say, well, Pastor, you know, this is just my personality. Well, that argument falls flat when you consider the fact that the Apostle Paul said that the fruit of the Spirit, something produced by the Spirit in the life of a person, is genuine joy. So there's love, there's joy. Number three, there's peace. What is peace? Obviously, it means peace with God. We have a sense of a relationship with God. I think it also means peace with yourself. You learn by the presence of the Spirit of God to not be anxious. But I think it thirdly means peace with others. A spiritual person is a peacemaker, not a divider. I'll say it again. A spiritual person is a peacemaker, not a divider. A spiritual person seeks peace, not peace at any price, because we don't compromise convictions and beliefs and standards. You get that. But a spiritual person is always seeking peace among others, not seeking to stir it up in division and strife. The opposite of peace, of course, is contentious, or someone who is argumentative. Maybe someone who is anxious or disagreeable, someone who is controversial or aggressive. Those are the opposite things of peace. And remember, the Holy Spirit produces a sense of peace in my heart. And I, because of that peace that is in my heart, I want to disseminate that peace to others. So it's love, it's joy, it's peace. Next one, long-suffering. What does that mean? Long-suffering literally means patience under pressure. This is kind of a word study tonight. Patience under pressure. It means that when the pressure blows up, when the suffering begins, I can do it for a long time and remain fully in control. It means this in the common vernacular: I put up with things well. Now, that is a fruit of the Spirit.
Well, Pastor Monty, when God made me, He made me with a short fuse.
I wish people would stop saying that. Okay, having a temper is not a spiritual gift. Having a temper is a problem. The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. It means that I'm willing to put up with something that could irritate me, and I can do so without blowing up. It means rather than being short-tempered, I am long-tempered. What is the opposite to this? The opposite of long-suffering is a person who is impatient. It has to be done, and it has to be done now. They are entitled. This is what I deserve. These are my rights, and I will stand for nothing less than my rights. That's not long-suffering. An individual may be demanding or explosive when placed under the least pressure. I think sometimes it's good, isn't it, to look at the opposite of what the word means? A long-suffering person can put up with a lot of things for the sake and the cause of Christ. Say, that's something that great church members do. In every church, there's things that rub you the wrong way, okay? Great people put up with those things for the sake of the cause of Christ. In any place, there might be something that is uncomfortable or something that is not 100% to your liking. Spiritual people, controlled by the Spirit of God, they put up with that for the bigger picture. Long-suffering is a fruit of the Spirit. The next one, quickly, gentleness. Gentleness. Gentleness deals with your approach to people and situations. It really has to do with the way that you carry yourself, not only how you approach a situation, but listen to me, how approachable are you as a person? People are intimidated to approach someone that they view as aggressive. But an individual who is gentle, the Bible uses this word, easy to be entreated. In other words, you can go to that person with an entreaty, with a plea. You can go to that person knowing that the response is going to be gentleness. The opposite of gentleness, by the way, gentleness is non-threatening. It is open. It is not aggressive. It is willing to hear an individual, and the assurance that that person who is gentle will respond in a gentle way. The opposite of that is irascibility. The opposite of that is aggressiveness, pushiness. It is forcefulness. The opposite of that is not being careful about the feelings of others. You're careless about the feelings of others. There is nothing spiritual about that. Well, Pastor Monty, I just say what's on the tip of my mind, and whatever I'm thinking, it's coming out my mouth because I just lay it out there. Wow, really? You must not have any friends. I mean, really? Did you know sometimes gentleness requires me to withhold the impulsive feeling that I have in my heart about something? Gentleness instructs me to be kind, to be even-handed, to not allow emotions to graduate into rage. Gentleness says I control my spirit and I'm a gentle person to approach. If you're not that way, there's something wrong with your spiritual life. Now, remember this. I said we're not preaching perfection because in every one of these areas I have failings. Okay, you have failings. I'm not preaching perfection tonight, but I am saying overall when a person looks at me, they should find me to be a gentle person. The people who've dealt with me on a one-on-one basis in this church know that I don't raise my voice. You know that. You know that I talk in a conversational tone. You know that I'm just a big teddy bear. You know that. All of you know that, okay? Gentleness is an important feature of the Christian life. By the way, it doesn't mean you're a pushover. Nope, I'm not a pushover. It doesn't mean that you'll compromise convictions. It doesn't mean that at all. But it means that your approach to something can always be in a gentle manner. The next one is goodness. These are things the Holy Spirit produces, the fruit that grows on the trees of our lives. Goodness, that is moral excellence. It talks about solid character and being trustworthy. The opposite of goodness is someone who is shady or of doubtful character. Maybe someone who has ulterior motives that lacks goodness. Goodness, I think, is something that you pick up on in a person over a period of time as you know them. But you come to trust that person. Remember back in the day they used to talk about you can make a $1 million deal with that guy with a handshake. How many remember those days? Yeah. Boy, now you can't make a $10 deal without a team of lawyers and a contract that's ironclad. That was because at one time there was goodness of character. Say, even in small things, if you say you're going to do something, do it. Commit to it. Here's a small thing. If you say you're going to be somewhere at a certain time, be there a couple minutes early to make sure that you're on time. The cell phone has ruined the on-time feature of people's lives because they figure, well, if I'm late, I'll just call them and tell them I'm going to be late, okay? Good character says, to the best of my ability, and no one in this room is perfect, to the best of my ability, keep my word. Be on time. If I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. If I fail to do it because either I forgot to do it or for some other reason I failed to do it, then good character says I feel bad about that. Good character says I apologize for that. Good character says that I make amends for that. And this is something that the Holy Spirit builds into a person's life because this is what spiritual looks like. The next one is this, faith. Faith. It's a gift of the Spirit of God, a fruit of the Spirit of God. What is faith? It is believing what God says. It is trusting God for outcomes. That's what faith is. Pastor Monty, you know, I just don't know what's going to happen. Okay, again, allow by yielding to the Spirit of God, allow Him to build faith. How many know that it's not right to live in constant doubt? You know that's not right. In fact, for some, the Holy Spirit's convicted us about our doubting. The Holy Spirit will produce faith if we yield to Him, if you listen to the voice of the Spirit of God. He produces faith in our heart. Faith is trusting God for outcomes. Faith, then, is having a positive outlook. Do you remember Meriwether Lewis and Clark? How many remember the Lewis and Clark expedition? They went from St. Louis all the way across the West and all of that. Meriwether Lewis, the leader of that expedition, he made this statement once, and I love this statement. He said this. He said, every road is a good road until it proves otherwise. I really like that. In other words, be positive going into something that God is a God who will honor faith. We took a step a few years ago when we started in earnest the building program and the building process. This church took a huge step. And part of that was believing God for this process. May I say this? God has not failed. And it has built our faith as a church family. We have a positive outcome. The outlook. The opposites of faith are these: negativity, doubt, the sky is falling viewpoint. None of that comes from the Spirit of God. Now, I believe in being reasonable, being careful, being cautious, and all of you know that I am a conservative, both fiscally and theologically and politically. I am a rock-solid conservative. But there comes a point in time when you simply have to know that God's going to do something bigger and better than you can ever have imagined, and you have to believe Him for it. And rather than living in fear and doubt and screaming, the sky is falling, we just hold on to the promises of God. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. The next one, quickly, meekness. What is meekness? Meekness is this: it is power and authority under control. Power and authority under control. Who is the meekest man to ever live? Do you know? Moses. Moses is described as the meekest man to ever live. Yet Moses was a great leader. By the way, was Moses' meekness perfect? No. Remember, he smote the rock when he was supposed to talk to it? Moses lost his temper a time or two, but overall, Moses was a very meek man. His power, his authority was under control. His outward meekness is an inward thing. Its outward manifestation is humility. It means that an individual is not obnoxious. It means that he does not wield power and authority like a dictator. It means that he is approachable and that he will listen. A sense of meekness is never weakness, but it is that power that is under control. The opposites of meekness, this will help us to understand this fruit of the Spirit, the opposites are a haughty spirit, pride, having a know-it-all attitude, insistent on one's own way. Those things violate the principle of meekness. And there's one more that I think is so important. Temperance. What is temperance? Temperance, simply defined, is self-control. Self-control. Well, Pastor Monahan, it's not spiritual because it's self-control. Okay, spirit-empowered self-control. It speaks about a spirit-empowered self-discipline. It is a partnership between me and the Spirit of God in controlling myself. What things do I control? I control the words that I speak. I'm cautious about them. So let me make a statement here. And I think I preached this recently, and there's a reason I'm saying it again. Not a reason I know. I just feel led to say it. When you're about to say something, and that little voice inside says, maybe you shouldn't say that, can I make a suggestion to you? Don't say it. Don't say it. The times when I have ignored the little voice, I have caused myself trouble and I have caused other people trouble. Let me make this statement as well. Silence is the better part of wisdom. It took me a long time, because I'm a talker, it took me a long time in my life to learn that it is better to listen. And Solomon tells us this in the Proverbs, that it is better to listen than it is to blab. It is better to take it all in, and rather than react quickly in any kind of situation, it is better to step back from it and mull it over and examine it before reacting. Now, what does that require? It requires self-control. Self-control in the things that I would say. Self-control in the words that I would speak. Maybe self-control in silence. Self-control also has to do with my actions, the things that I do. It has to do with how I appear before people. It has to do with everything that is who I am. Self-control always maintains decorum, because that's part of self-control. Self-control has good life balance. Self-control can say no after the third trip to the buffet. The buffet. Don't you miss the buffet? I just miss the buffet. I never thought I would miss a buffet like I miss the buffet, but I miss the buffet. I miss going up there after half of Hendricks County has been digging through those egg rolls, pulling out one, probably covered with germs. The buffet was a great immune system builder, wasn't it? The moment you walked into a buffet, your immune system was on high alert. Whoop, 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 whoop. He's here again. Look out. Here come the germs. The old buffet. Self-control says that I can live in moderation in my life, that I can enjoy things moderately, that I can work moderately, that I have, listen to this, a good work-life balance. Wow, Pastor Ronnie, so-and-so, he's just a workaholic. Boy, do you admire his work ethic. Hey, I love a good work ethic. But there should be a level of balance, because self-control can sometimes mean you have to pull aside and relax a little bit. It's a good life balance. What are the opposites of temperance? The opposites are this: out of control. Can't control my, Pastor Ronnie, I'm just going to blow up. That's really not spiritual. Hear what I just said? It's not spiritual. Out of control. Undisciplined. Yeah, Pastor, preacher, you know, I sleep till 11 o'clock every morning. Wow. Undisciplined. I'm not saying that's the only thing we could be undisciplined about. It's one thing. The opposite of self-control or temperance is indulgence. Indulgence. Unbridled indulgence. I cannot control myself. I cannot help myself. It's laziness, and a lack of self-control or a lack of temperance is always excessive. Folks, those things are not spiritual. Now let me wind this up. Okay, what does a spiritual person look like? Love, not perfection. Every person in this room, including me, makes plenty of mistakes in this. But in a general sense, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those are things that are produced by the Spirit of God as I yield to the Spirit of God. It is not what I say that advertises my spiritual condition, but it is how I come across relating to those areas. Those are the things that make me spiritual. It is not how I dress necessarily. It is not the cut of my hair or the shine of my shoes. And those things should be right and they should be good. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But fundamentally, it's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's what a spiritual person looks like. A spiritual person does not sit cross-legged on the floor, press his thumb against his middle finger, and that's not spiritual. That's weird. Okay, it's just weird. Spiritual, according to Scripture, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. As those things grow in my life, I become closer to the Lord because I become more like Him. And if I find myself, well, you know, Pastor Bonnie, I don't have all of those things. I don't even try on those things, okay? If you have that, then I can conclude based on Scripture that there's a spiritual problem. Maybe it's a growth problem, okay? Maybe it's a yield to the Holy Spirit problem. Maybe it's a salvation problem, but frankly, it is problematic. I'm not saying anyone is perfect, but I'm saying for those of us who know the Lord and yield to the Spirit of God, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those are things that should be present in a consistent manner in our lives. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what spiritual looks like. Father, I pray that you'll help us tonight to get our eyes fixed on what the Scripture says about the spiritual life, something that is born and produced in us by the presence of the Spirit of God, and then by our yielding to Him. I pray for every person in this room that is a Christian that will recognize that these 9 characteristics are absolutely vital. And Lord, that if they're lacking, then it doesn't matter how much we're talking about the Bible. We just don't have the power within. Father, help us to never be those people that are religious but deny the power thereof. God, give us of your grace to see. And if the Holy Spirit is dealing with our hearts, help us, Lord, to yield in those areas, to work on one area after another, to seek a yieldedness to you, that fruit would be produced in our lives. Bless, I pray, this thought. In Jesus' name, let's stand together, please.